Welcome into another edition of our NBA podcast. Cody Grant alongside me, Ryan Horvat. A lot of basketball to get to as we get closer to the playoffs. Plenty of Bucks talk. Jabari had some comments. Why can we never do a podcast not talking about LeBron James and teams looking at possibly adding Kawhi Leonard in the offseason? A lot of storylines in the NBA. As always, it's full of drama. Ryan, on this Wednesday, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. I'm excited. The weekend's right around the corner. Baseball season's here. NBA season winding down. I'm getting excited for the playoffs. Now's the time of the year when I'm just really ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, regular season is at the end.
Because it's winding down, you know.
Like, regular season's a marathon, and you're kind of getting bored of it.
Right.
You're ready for that playoff atmosphere.
Right.
Which you get teased a little bit in these games. For instance, tonight on this Wednesday, we have Boston-Toronto. That's a possible playoff matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Last night, it felt like a playoff atmosphere, the Celtics-Bucks game. But, you know, this year, more than ever, there's still a lot to play for in both conferences, in both the East and the West. Since last week, you know, when I was talking about how dominant Toronto is, now the Celtics, without Kyrie, they're right there. I mean, they could end up being the number one seed. So there's a lot to play for still, but I'm just ready for the playoffs. You know, like you said, everything's a tease, you know. I feel like every night the Celtics are in like a 1 point, 2 point, you know, like classic game. Every time I watch them on TNT, they're in a close game, even without Kyrie Irving. So Brad Stevens is doing a tremendous job, but it just gets me more excited for the playoffs. Like, I'm ready for him to start right this second.
Well, the Celtics were in a close game last night against the Bucks. They did not beat the Bucks, of course.
Yeah, they actually lost.
The Bucks are just a weird team to pay attention to. They won the game 106-102. Celtics came out on a six-game winning streak. They are depleted, though. No Kyrie Irving. We don't know if he's going to be ready for the first round of the playoffs either. But the Bucks get a big win, a much-needed win, because they're battling in that bottom half of the Eastern Conference standings, currently sitting in eight with Miami down there. Indiana's not far ahead.
Washington's right there.
Yeah. Right there with them. I think those three teams have the same record, Washington, Milwaukee, and
it's Washington 42-36, Miami 42-36, and Milwaukee 42-36. So they're right there with the same record.
But the Bucks are last in tiebreaker.
But the Bucks are, yeah, last in tiebreaker. So they're the eighth seed right now. It's kind of crazy that Washington's 42-36. They had some hot points of the season, mainly when John Wall first went down, where they just went on a tear. Now they've come back down to earth. John Wall, of course, back now from injury. But I'm kind of surprised to see them in that seventh seed. But I mean, you look at the East, you got Toronto 55-22, and then Boston's right there 53-24. And as we mentioned, they play tonight. Cleveland, that third seed, 48-30, and then Philadelphia 47-30, Indiana 46-32. So tons of parity in the East, and it's going to be interesting to see where that sixth, seventh, and eighth seed, how that ends up. I think that that's what to look out for. And then obviously, can Boston pass Toronto with no Kyrie Irving? So what are your thoughts on Boston, you know, without Kyrie in that first round of the playoffs? Do you think they could be beaten?
I said this on the last podcast, too, and I think the Bucks can beat Boston without Kyrie Irving in that first round. Is it saying much? Maybe not, because the Bucks have had two wins now against really good teams that have been depleted to injuries. They beat Golden State last week. Mm-hmm. No Kevin Durant in the second half because he got ejected. They had Draymond Green. They did not have Klay Thompson. They did not have Stephen Curry. The Bucks get away with a win. Last night, the Bucks beat the Celtics with no Kyrie Irving as well, 106-102, the final score in that one. I think the Bucks, even as inconsistent as they've been, they can win four games out of seven against Boston without Kyrie Irving.
I mean, they've been playing pretty good basketball. I mean, there was the disappointing loss in Denver, so that was kind of a dark spot on what should have been an impressive week for the Bucks. But man, Eric Bledsoe has been playing his mind out. I mean, he's been playing just terrific lately. Jabari's looked good off the bench. I mean, I know we're going to dive into kind of his comments, but he's looked good, mainly three nights ago, whenever they played, and he went over 30 points.
Yeah, 35.
And so I think that they have a shot, realistically, as you said, to beat Boston without Kyrie. The thing that scares me is you give Brad Stevens that much time to prepare, and I think that he'll come up with something.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. When I say I think the Bucks can beat the Celtics, it's not going to shock me one bit if the Celtics beat them in six games, because Boston, even without Kyrie Irving, they were on a six-game winning streak before falling to Milwaukee last night. So they're still a good team with Brad Stevens at the helm. You still have Al Horford. You got Greg Monroe, of course, former Buck off the bench. Jaylen Brown had a great game last night. He went for 24 points. So they have a lot of talent, not to mention a possible Rookie of the Year candidate. Not going to win it, but a Rookie of the Year candidate in Jason Tatum. So they have a lot of talent, but they're still a young team with not a lot of playoff experience. besides Al Horford and besides obviously Kyrie Irving, but if he doesn't suit up, this is a team that the Bucks can take advantage of because they're going to have the best basketball player on the floor, and that's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And Brad Stevens has to be up there, coach of the year, every year, but especially this year. I mean, we keep talking about Kyrie Irving, but they're without their best perimeter defender and Marcus Smart, too. They've been dealing with injuries all season. Gordon Hayward goes down in the first, 3 minutes of the year. So Brad Stevens has to be up there for coach of the year. I mean, it's crazy what he does with what he has, for the past couple of years. I mean, that team kind of got blown up. Remember last year, Isaiah Thomas, and they were the number one seed last year.
Yes.
They almost got knocked out by the Bulls.
I mean, he put a system that Thomas flourished in.
Yeah.
And to a point where people were not sure if Boston got a good deal.
But it's crazy because...
And obviously, Kyrie Irving is light years ahead better than Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
But he kind of... He elevated the strengths of Isaiah, and he shadowed the weaknesses in that offense that he ran through Isaiah Thomas last season. And I think it's going to Dwayne Casey, but I'm 100% with you that Brad Stevens deserves to be in the conversation because look at all the variables on this team. Gordon Hayward goes down in game one of 82. No Kyrie Irving here down the stretch. We're still winning games. And he continues to find ways to make this team mesh. No Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown stepping up. Jason Tatum stepped up all year long.
Mm-hmm.
They signed Greg Monroe. He's a great addition off the bench now to spell Horford. And Brad Stevens definitely one of the top coaches in the NBA today.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I mean, with a whole new team pretty much. They blew up that team. He got everybody to buy in the system.
The largest turnover of any NBA team.
The thing is, everybody wants to play for Brad Stevens because he's such a great basketball mind. And I won't be surprised if they pick up if they figure out a way to get Kawhi Leonard, to tell you the truth, in the offseason to go join them in Boston. I think they're going to put together a super team with Hayward, Kyrie Irving, and I think they have the best offer for Kawhi, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But, man, I'm jacked for the playoffs. Tonight's going to be a huge game, and I think the Raptors are going to come out super motivated. I think they're going to beat Boston. Boston's going to lose two in a row just because they're so beat up right now, and I think that Toronto, they have a point to prove now because they started off hot. And they've looked like crap the last couple weeks, but I think tonight they could put a big statement out there that they're the team to beat in the East.
Yeah, I jumped on the Raptors bandwagon 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and then last week I jumped right back off because I'm not going to sell on the Raptors. It's still LeBron's Eastern Conference. It's still LeBron's league. And until someone proves us otherwise, I'm taking LeBron and the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But going back to the Bucks. As they make their run, four games left, and they only have only one more game against a playoff contender in Philadelphia when they meet them on the last game of the season. Jabari Parker, who has been a big news story around the Bucks, of course, especially this season, coming off of two ACLs. They offered him the contract earlier in the year, reportedly 3 years, $50-some million, and he turned down. He's betting on himself, will be a restricted free agent this summer, meaning the Bucks can match any offer that he gets from another team around the league. He made a comment. This came out in the Washington Post. It was an article written titled "Jabari Parker on Future with Bucks. They'll be fine regardless." That's a direct quote from Jabari. I have the quote here. I will read it. "Honestly, it's uncertain. I know that just looking from afar, the Bucks will be fine, but I just have to see what's going to happen with my future, and that's uncertain. But I know for them, they'll be fine regardless. They've been doing well." So if you notice, the biggest thing with that quote from Jabari wasn't "we."
Right.
It's "they."
Mm-hmm.
Jabari is still a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's under contract through the end of the season. But he's saying they. I don't want to read too much in this quote, but you kind of have to, especially in the situation where the Bucks and Jabari are, because this is a guy that's been through two ACL injuries. You don't know if you want to give him that much money, if you want to make that much commitment to the future. And as good of a player as Jabari Parker is, the face of this franchise is not Jabari Parker, it's Giannis. So this is a conversation that needs to be had. And I mean, I kind of take from this that Jabari's looking ahead. He's ready to move on. And maybe that's something that he thinks is going to happen just in his own head, that, man, I don't think these guys are going to offer me a max deal, but I think I can go get a max deal somewhere else.
Yeah, because he was asking for $18 million when they sat down over the summer, reportedly, right? And the Bucks
I don't know about that.
I think that's the number that I heard, that they didn't want to give him the $18 million. The thing about Jabari is it seems like he's been in the league for so long just because of the two knee injuries. He's only 23 years old.
Yeah, still very young. The second overall pick went after Andrew Wiggins and right before Joel Embiid.
Yeah, averaging only like 12 this year, 11.9, but we saw the flashes once again the other night, as you mentioned, 35 points. And, I mean, he's getting buckets off the bench, and I think he hates that role. The more I watch the Bucks, I really don't think him and Chris Middleton get along.
Yeah,
and I think it's because of the lack of effort defensively.
Well, Chris Middleton, I don't know if – I mean, it's tough. Like, we're in the locker room, but we don't see it there. You know, we don't know what's going on behind – closed doors between the players on this team, but we've seen it where Jabari is yelling at guys that we need to play together.
Right.
We've seen it where Chris Middleton has waved off Giannis at the end of the game saying, I'm taking the last shot.
Which is ridiculous.
Because like Jason Kidd said at the beginning of the season that Giannis is the 1A and Chris Middleton's the 1B. It's just blasphemy because Chris Middleton's not even a number two most likely on most teams. He's at best, I think, his best role is a number three. And even though he's averaging 20 points per game, having a good season, but when you look at this team, it's just like all these names, all these stars, offensive players that want to get their own shot, do they all mesh? Because they're not playing as a team. And there were stretches where they do play as a team, and they look spectacular. They look like a top four Eastern Conference team, which we all predicted them to be
right at
the start of the season. But then there's those other flashes during games where defensively, they all look lackadaisical. They all look uninterested. And then you get to offense. You know, Eric Bledsoe gets a rebound. He runs it down the court, takes a shot. Or Chris Middleton gets a rebound, runs down the court, takes a shot. There's no offense. There's no moving parts. It's just everybody's out there for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's all going to come down to money. You know, I mean, the Bucks right now, their salaries are projected at $103 million for the 2018-19 season. And that's without Jabari Parker on the payroll. I mean, the problem is you're not going to be able to find a player of Jabari's caliber, you know, for the mid-level exception, though. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, can you afford him? Can you? What's going to happen with Middleton, with Bledsoe, with all these guys? But, I mean, I think that if you want to be a contender, I think Jabari is a great piece. You know, I think that you need to sit down this offseason, this summer, and just kind of figure out where you're going with this team, though. Who's going to be the head coach? I mean, there's so much uncertainty. You know, if they win a playoff series, I think you bring everybody back. Maybe, I mean, Prunty probably gets a job if they win a playoff series.
It's tough, though, because even if they do win a playoff series, you still know there's problems on this team.
Right.
And of course, we talked before we went on this podcast over in the studio, 105.7 FM The Fan, that if Prunty were to win a playoff series, say they play Boston and Kyrie Irving's not playing,
yeah,
then what do you say? You know, it's like, well, they beat a team that didn't have their best player, and actually their two best players, just Gordon Hayward's been out all season long. So I don't know if Prunty even is at all a guy they're even considering, even if he wins two series, you know? And
yeah,
because I think that everybody is so far away from the Warriors right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody in the Eastern Conference is still far away from the Houston Rockets right now. And then everybody in the Eastern Conference besides Cleveland is still far away from the Cavs. And you have Boston, who solidified themselves as a top three team in the Eastern Conference. You had Toronto, who solidified themselves as a top three team in the Eastern Conference. And now you have Philadelphia coming on, who's a younger team than Milwaukee with their stars, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Markelle Fultz, that are playing defense under Brett Brown. And they're eclipsing the Bucks right now, even though the Bucks were the team before the season. Everybody said, this team's going to make the largest jump.
Yeah.
And here from last year, they were a sixth seed and now they're an eighth seed.
And that's where we find out that coaching does matter in the NBA. As much as we joke about, oh, LeBron's the coach of the Cavs and you don't need a head coach if you got the three best players in the league, but you need an offensive system and you do need a head coach, mainly just pretty much to babysit and to manage egos. You know, I said last week that I thought that there was no chance Jabari would be a Buck, but I think that they're the favorites to land him when you think about it. I think what's going to happen is they're going to tell him to go out and find the best offer, and then they'll have full intentions of matching that offer because you're not going to let him walk, you know, without receiving some sort of compensation. So even if you're just signing him just to get something in a trade, I don't see letting him walk because what else do you really have to offer if you're trying to build a contender?
Well, that's the one thing, too, is you can't let this guy walk. I mean, is he worth a max contract? I think at the height of his game, he could be.
Maybe. We don't know.
But he's not there. he's nowhere near there at this moment.
Like he's averaging 12 a game. You can't give $18 million a year to a guy averaging 12 points per game. But, I mean, it's in 20 minutes.
But there's teams out there that will give Jabari $30 million. There are teams out there that will give him that much money. I believe that because you've seen it with Harrison Barnes. You've seen it with guys like around the NBA that have this potential, and we all know it's there with Jabari. So if you let him walk, though, and you get nothing in return, and you're already against the cap, what do you do with the team moving forward? You get worse right away, and you're not going to get a player as good as Jabari, as you mentioned, for that mid-level exception. So there has to be something worked out here with Jabari. Rather, you can get him to meet you where you want to pay him, where you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Or if there is a team that offers him a max deal, if you can sign and trade him. But it's just there's a lot of options out there. I have no idea what they're going to do. I have no idea what they should do.
I want to see him.
Because it's confusing with we don't know what Jabari is.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. We don't know what he is. That's what I was just going to say. I want to see consistency because against Boston, 31 minutes, 12 points. Denver, 39 minutes, 35, 10. You know, and then last night he plays 25 against the Lakers, 25 minutes, 8 points, 3 rebounds. So it's just all over the place. I mean, you score 35, you have 8 against the Lakers. I mean, obviously, you got to look at the minutes. You got to look at how the offense is moving and are guys actually sharing the ball that night. Because the thing is when Middleton's on fire like he has been, you know, and Giannis is getting his buckets, and then you have Bledsoe, it's hard just to get Jabari touches.
Well, they play a lot of one-on-one basketball.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of ISO.
And Jabari's coming off the bench right now, and you want to expect. I mean, I said on the podcast, 3 weeks ago or something, that I think Jabari will finish the season in the starting lineup. Looks like I'm going to be wrong about that, which I think the Bucks are wrong about not putting him in the starting lineup because he's that good when he's healthy, and he's been showing that he can have flashes of going off for 20, 30 points a night, but he's staying in a reserve role, and it looks like they're going to keep him that way come playoff time.
Yeah, it looks like they don't want to screw up the chemistry, which is kind of a joke because there's not really that much chemistry on this team.
The run-and-gun, one-on-one, no-pass offense of the Bucks, that chemistry they don't want to screw up with. Chris Middleton is waving off Giannis in the closing minutes of a game.
Imagine what's going to happen if they lose to Brooklyn tomorrow night when they could clinch.
just stay off Bucks Twitter tomorow. Nobody go on Bucks Twitter tomorrow. The Brewers start a series with the Cubs.
There's no shot they lose to the Nets, is there?
Watch that game. I'm kidding. Watch both. This is an NBA podcast. I'm telling you not to watch basketball. The Bucks. God, it's just such a frustrating season. And I think that word is the word of the season for the Bucks is frustrating because so much potential, so much talent, so much hope that the season would bring a first-round win.
Yeah, and I'm more excited for the offseason just to see who's going to coach this team and what this team is going to look like next year. I'm more excited for an offseason than for the Bucks in the playoffs, and that's sad.
Yeah, that's how I am in NBA 2K18, but in real life, it shouldn't be that way.
Right. I mean, I'm more excited to see who's coaching this team with all the names floating out there.
To get us excited about the NBA offseason every year, it seems like they're always dominate headlines with free agency and trades that are going on. And there's been some rumors circling now, and actually they aren't rumors, they're reported facts that there are teams around the NBA doing their due diligence and like quote-unquote vultures going after Kawhi Leonard, sending the Spurs trade ideas. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? It was first reported by Brian Windhorst, and then it was confirmed by his colleague Zach Lowe. So this does not mean that the Spurs are shopping Kawhi Leonard. I want to emphasize that. It does not mean they're shopping him, but with uncertainty around Kawhi Leonard, who's only played 9 games this season with the Spurs, and not sure what he wants to do in the future, not sure what the Spurs want to do in the future, these teams are coming at the Spurs hard with Kawhi Leonard. And I can't think of a guy since maybe Carmelo Anthony that has this much interest around the league in a trade scenario.
Yeah, I saw Chris Mannix the other day, and that's kind of where I got that Boston rumor from. He was talking about Boston building a package around Jason Tatum, and that would probably be the best deal that San Antonio would see for Kawhi. I mean, that'd be an interesting trade right there.
And when I say Carmelo Anthony, I mean Nuggets Carmelo.
Yeah, skinny Carmelo.
I mean good Carmelo. I don't mean washed up Knicks Carmelo going off, being traded at OKC.
Going off the tracks here a little bit, remember how good Carmelo Anthony used to be? People talked about how he like never defends. He used to defend when he wanted to, a little bit at Syracuse, but if you go back and you watch that series when he played the Lakers, him and Kobe were going at it. He was actually playing a little bit of defense. He was like grabbing on Kobe's jersey. And then all of a sudden, like, he just stopped caring. He signed in New York. He got all of his money. He got fat. He got lazy. He got married. He got divorced. And he's kind of just a mess.
There was a time, Ryan, where Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kevin Durant all took a second seat as far as scoring to Carmelo Anthony. That's how good this guy was offensively.
He was one of the greatest scorers I've ever seen.
In a single season.
He could just get buckets.
Man, he was good. Because he can hit from the outside. He can post up. He can drive. He can pull up. He can shoot off the dribble. He can fade away. He can power you inside. He can do it all.
Yeah.
He can do it all. And he was a great offensive talent. But then, of course, he went to New York and just something happened to him. Yeah, now he's finished.
He's not even a valuable piece to have on a team anymore. I mean, He's
just a name.
He's done.
He's a name. But Kawhi Leonard, you mentioned this deal possibly with Boston Celtics,
yeah.
Jason Tatum being the centerpiece around it. Of course, Kawhi is the centerpiece, but when you're looking at the other team, the trade scenarios, you have that centerpiece being Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
That may be one of the best guys you can get. Let's kind of brainstorm a little bit to see if Kawhi Leonard does not play with the Spurs next season, what jersey will he be wearing?
I think San Antonio has to be the favorite. I mean, Tony Parker, Ginobili, Paul Gasol, they're all going to retire. They're old, and LaMarcus Aldridge is quickly approaching his mid-30s now, too. People don't realize that. He's getting up there. So eventually they're going to want to – the Spurs don't blow things up. They don't tank, and they don't rebuild. They haven't for over a decade now. So I think that you have to get younger, and you have to get players that you know can play, and I think Tatum's a great piece. Other than that, I mean, I've heard that Kawhi wants to be closer to home, so maybe somewhere on the West Coast. I don't see him wanting to go and play for a team that stinks, obviously. I think the Pacers would be a great fit, but I don't see Kawhi going to Indianapolis.
But who can they trade?
Who could you trade? They're not going to get rid of Oladipo. I mean, I'm sure they would for Kawhi in a heartbeat.
But it's like, yeah, you would definitely get rid of Oladipo for Kawhi, but how does that make you that much better? Obviously, Kawhi Leonard's a better player than Oladipo. I'd rather have Kawhi Leonard. But Kawhi's not a guy I believe can be the only – I mean, you can't have just one star.
Right.
You can't have just one star. So you have to look at around the league of teams that have a star or two stars that have other pieces that can trade for Kawhi. Boston's definitely one of them. I think Houston possibly could be another.
Imagine that. Imagine
if you can – I mean, they have a lot of pieces. You can throw in Chris Paul. I mean, not that he's a throw-in guy.
Right.
But James Harden's pretty much a point guard anyways. And if Houston is a team that doesn't win a championship this year, maybe they're a team that wants to throw in their trade scenarios to the Spurs for Kawhi Leonard.
All I know is if I'm the Spurs, I'm trying to move him this summer regardless because he's going to be a free agent anyway after next season. So if you don't trade him before February next year, you're getting absolutely nothing in return. You know he doesn't want to come back. It's just kind of crazy that all this drama is going on with the Spurs and with Kawhi Leonard, who we've always heard is just this quiet guy, doesn't care about stats, doesn't care about his numbers. He just wants to win.
Man, that sounds
but
just
it shows,
like Derrick
man,
Rose.
And it shows, though, that these guys – I mean, you know, and you look at it, you'll get cut like nothing if you can't perform. Like, look at Derrick Rose. I mean, the Bulls traded him literally for pretty much nothing, even though he was from Chicago. He was the face of the franchise. Everybody loved him in Chicago. He's from there, for Christ's sake, and he was a former MVP. But there's no loyalty, even in the NBA. They say it about the NFL, but there's no loyalty in the NBA either. So Kawhi, I think what he's doing is smart. His team doctors, his people are saying, you're not ready to come back. The team doctors are saying that he is. And that's where we're going to start seeing these rifts because guys are looking out for themselves, especially with all this TV money. They want money. They want to get paid. They want that last big contract. And that's what Kawhi is doing. He knows he has one more coming up, at least one more big one coming up in 2019. So that's where we're seeing it. But it's kind of crazy that his name is in this mix, and it's the Spurs organization that's kind of a mess. I mean, Tony Parker said, I know what he's dealing with. You know, I had the same injury, but mine was worse. That's taking a shot. There's no way Kawhi is coming back and playing on this team when guys like Tony Parker are taking shots at him.
Yeah, I don't see it
even if Tony
either.
Parker's not on the team. I mean, that's coming from something.
And it's crazy as well, a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who you mentioned has always been kind of like the epitome of just go out there and play basketball. Yeah. And Kawhi Leonard, again, I'll say it again, has played 9 games this season. He hasn't been in the lineup since January 13th, yeah. And he's not going to come back this year. And also the Spurs that have been the New England Patriots of the NBA, they haven't had a below 50-win season since 1999.
Jesus.
Almost 20 years. That's they're going to have it this year. They're not going to win 50. The most they can win is 49 this year. So really an end of an era for the Spurs. And they were always the team that, oh, they're done this year. They're done. Go out and win a championship.
And then they win 52 games.
They're done this year. Go out and win a championship.
Yeah.
They're definitely done this year. Go out and win a championship. And they never won back-to-backs. It just shows you how tough that is to do in the NBA. But they've had a great dynasty, of course, the Tim Duncan years, and then Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, and then, of course, Kawhi Leonard, who won the Finals MVP, their last championship. So, but a guy that may not be a Spur for much longer. More to get to, we talked about LeBron James. I wanted to bring this up because LeBron James just eclipsed Kobe Bryant now for most 20-point games all time. So he's now in third place in most 20-point games. Last week, he passed Michael Jordan for the most consecutive games of scoring at least 10 points. Just a phenomenal stat when you really think about it. 942 times now in his career, he scored 20 points or more. And I was talking to you, Ryan, before we started this podcast today, and I said, you know, I see all these media outlets talk about LeBron all the time, and you see the comments on Twitter, on Facebook, stop talking about LeBron. That's all you talk about. It's all you do. And we're doing this NBA podcast, and I'm like, God, I can't think of why we wouldn't talk about LeBron, because he's always in the news because this guy is this freaking good. You can't do a show without mentioning his name.
Hey, his name's in the headlines every single day.
It's not that the media is riding this guy's, you know, I'm not going to say it here because you hear the harsh words and the harsh sayings on Twitter and Facebook, but we're not riding him.
I don't even like him.
It's the fact that he's just the best goddamn player in the NBA.
Yeah, I hate the guy.
And he dominates headlines every day, and you have to talk about him because he's that good.
And that's the thing, he dominates. I mean, he's breaking every single record. He's going to break every record that there is, most likely.
He is.
And then he's always like speaking out on social stances and things like that. So he's in the headlines every single day. And for good, I mean, he's the most well-known athlete, I think, on the planet right now.
He's polarizing, and he's good at what he does. He's the best at what he does, and he's going to continue to break these records. And, you know, don't give him the credit whenever you want.
Yeah.
You're wrong to do that, but, you know, continue to do what you do when you say, oh, you know, well, he's playing in a soft era, which I don't believe either, or he's playing in an era that doesn't play defense, which I don't believe either.
Right.
Or he's playing in a less skilled era, which I don't believe
Definitely
either.
No. Yeah.
Or he's the only player in NBA history to win a championship with help, as people will say. Magic Johnson had help, okay?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan had help. Larry Bird had help. Bill Russell had help. All these championship teams had help.
Well, you need it. And it's only going to get worse as far as LeBron in the headlines, because we got the playoffs coming up, so it's another run in the East for LeBron, this time with no help. And then where's LeBron going to be playing next year? That's going to dominate the offseason talk.
And that's going to be a fun story. Kawhi Leonard may not be at the Spurs. LeBron James probably won't be with the Cavs. Jabari Parker may not be with the Bucks. There's a lot of moving parts this offseason, which is great about the NBA, is there is no offseason, because the offseason is so much fun, so much drama is filled in the offseason.
Then you never know who's not going to get along and who's going to to be traded. I mean, the Cavs were in the finals last year, won the finals 2 years ago, and who was going to expect? And who was going to expect Kyrie Irving to be traded? So you just never really know, and that's why the NBA. I mean, the offseason is just so damn fun. I'm ready for the playoffs, and then I'm ready to see what the hell's going to go on with this Bucks team. I think LeBron stays in Cleveland, but that'll be an interesting saga. And now we got the Kawhi Leonard drama going on, so it's always something to talk about.
So NBA playoffs start in what, a week now, week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
As 4 games left for the Bucks, as they look to try to fight for playoff position. Hopefully they get that 7th seed. And when you say, well, what does it matter if they're not going to go anywhere in the Eastern Conference? It's still nice to have a playoff series win. It brings excitement for the future to what it could be. But I still think it's LeBron's Eastern Conference. And in the West, it's going to be fun. Every round looks good. There's great matchups. But I think it's going to come down to Golden State and Houston. And if it does go Game 7... Houston has it at home because they clinched that number one seed.
That's huge.
I still think Golden State takes the series no matter how many games it goes, and Golden State wins their second straight title, third in 4 years. Kevin Durant's a two-time champion, and they win against the Eastern Conference team in 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, I'm so jacked for that series. I wish we could just fast forward to it, to tell you the
truth. Oh, Houston Golden State?
Houston Golden State.
It's going to be fun.
Just the Eastern Conference Finals, too, just to see LeBron versus either Boston or Toronto is going to be awesome, too.
Yeah, or Philly, maybe.
I'm kind of rooting for the 76ers. I don't want Philadelphia fans to have too much this year, though. They already had Villanova win the national championship.
The
Eagles win the Super Bowl. So let's dial it down a little bit because I can't stand Philadelphia.
Don't tell Gibbons that.
Or their fans. No, I'm kidding. They've gotten better.
Oh, they're still pretty bad.
Yeah, they're pretty terrible,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, they suck.
But, I mean, I'm kind of rooting for the 76ers team.
They're a fun team to watch.
It's a young team that's actually bought into a system. They actually play defense. They're fun to watch, but they're pretty beat up right now. I don't see them making a run.
I think they can get out of the first round. Joel Embiid is hurt, though, right now.
Yeah.
And I think that even as good as Ben Simmons is right now,
he can't
Joel Embiid's
team,
their most important player.
Yeah.
And without him, they're going to be in major trouble. But if he does get back in time, that's a team that can make a little run. I think they can knock off a Toronto or a Boston in the second round. I think they're a team that is capable of doing that. And the way it's set up right now, they would play Toronto in round two because they are the fourth seed. Now, if they were to catch Cleveland, they could play Boston in round two. Or yeah. Milwaukee, if my prediction's correct, if Milwaukee gets a 7th seed, they beat Boston. So it's going to be an interesting playoffs. We can talk about the playoffs next week. We can go through our whole bracket. I know all of you love to do NCAA brackets. I also love to do NBA brackets, and we can go through all that next week on our podcast.
Yeah, next week's going to be a solid show. We'll know a little bit more about what's going on as far as the playoff seedings, and we'll have all that information. So like I said, man, I'm just ready for the playoffs to get here. I mean, there's a lot still to play for. As far as seeding goes, but, I mean, we know who the top contenders are. Now I just want to throw them in the ring and see who comes out on top.
Yeah, and the funny thing with the Eastern Conference standings as well as the Western Conference standings is the way it looks today can be totally different next week.
Right.
With just 3 or 4 games left for some of these teams. Same thing with that Western Conference standings. The only certainty is in the Eastern Conference is the Raptors and Celtics will finish 1 and 2. Whoever's number one, who's ever number two, it could change. And then the Cavs and Sixers, I'm assuming, will finish 3 and 4. But then 5 through 8, you don't know. And the Western Conference standings, you know number one will be Houston. You know number two will be Golden State. But then after that, 3 through 8, that can all change.
Right.
That can all change. And that is one of the coolest things this year in the NBA is everybody's bunched up and fighting for position. 48 wins for the third seed Trailblazers and 43 wins for the 8th seed Pelicans. So I don't know if the Pelicans can catch up to 3, but at least with the Jazz at 45, they can catch up to 4.
That's the two most surprising teams, I think, this year, is how good the Jazz are after losing Gordon Hayward. I think I talked a little bit about that last week.
Yeah.
And then the Pelicans, after losing DeMarcus Cousins, have been a huge surprise, too. Anthony Davis, no longer the unibrow. I don't know my thoughts on that. He shaved the unibrow the other day.
Was that an April Fool's joke?
Oh, was it?
I thought it was.
Okay, because then they showed him and he didn't have it anymore. So I thought it was a joke because like they didn't actually show him do the shaving, like the camera like drops.
Yeah, keep talking. I'll look this up.
But then when he came back, he didn't have it. And I haven't seen him since. And it's not a story I really followed. I was just kind of weirded out by the whole thing.
I mean,
was
that
an April Fool's joke?
I don't
joke,
care
though?
Either way. Like, it doesn't bother me.
But that's his trademark. He's the brow. What's he going to be now?
Yeah, he did not actually shave his trademark unibrow. It was
goddamn
an April Fool's joke.
April Fool's.
Yeah.
Screwing me up.
Anthony Davis, All-Star Center, had asked last week on Twitter whether he should have shaved his trademark unibrow. And 51% voted yes, he should. And he shot a video. Yeah, he did not shave.
Like, you could
it.
Tell it was like fake. I figured he got it like waxed or something. I don't know what we're talking about this.
Well,
I thought that he lost the damn eyebrow. Yeah. He didn't. But
strong finish, Ryan.
He's putting up crazy freaking numbers without DeMarcus Cousins. There's another question. Where's DeMarcus Cousins going to be next year?
God, there's so many storylines this offseason.
Hopefully, Milwaukee.
It's going to be fun to talk about. Yeah, I'd love to have Boogie Cousins.
I'd give my arm
Milwaukee.
For DeMarcus Cousins.
I would get a Bucks Boogie Cousins jersey if he came to Milwaukee.
I'd get a jersey. Like a jersey
shirt
for like $20.
What's that, a jersey?
A jersey. I call it a jirt.
Oh, jirt? Jersey shirt?
Like a jersey shirt.
So I call it jersey. Or jersey, I mean.
You can do that too. Jersey.
Jersey. The Jeff Wright
shirt. All right. We'll be back next week. Bigger and better than ever.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Ryan, for coming on. NBA podcast. That is Ryan Horvat. I am Cody Grant on 105.7 FM, The Fan.